This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Baker Mayfield and the Browns can clinch the playoffs on Sunday if they get a win against the Steelers. If they can't pull out the win, then they'll need some help to get into the postseason. The Steelers will be without Big Ben, Cam Hayward, and TJ Watt, who will all be resting for the already clinched playoff berth. So, Greg, do you trust Baker to lead the Browns into the playoffs against the undermanned Steelers?
Of course. Yes, I trust Baker Mayfield. He's done a terrific job all season. And it's been large in part because of the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, and play caller. And he's put him in successful situations. And I believe he'll do so moving forward into this Week 17 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But let's not act as though Baker Mayfield is going to have to do what he tried to do last week, which is throw the ball 50-plus times. That is not a key to the success of the Browns nor Baker Mayfield. That is not where he thrives. He turns around, hands the ball off to Nick Chubb and others and Kareem Hunt and allow them to establish their identity, which is running the football. And against the Pittsburgh Steelers team, who's kind of crippling and hobbling into the playoffs themselves, you have to establish the run. You have to impose your will. And Baker Mayfield, yes, is he the guy to get it done? I do believe so. He hasn't been turning the ball over. His interceptions are down. He's fumbled as of late. But if he can just not turn the ball over, and he can use his cadence. Vic, I wanted to ask you this. I'm glad we're talking about it. Why do we not see Baker Mayfield take advantage of his cadence? Because I feel like when teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers he plays against, they have an opportunity to disguise their coverages, and that's where he finds himself in trouble. And if he uses his cadence or tempo, getting to the line of scrimmage, getting off snaps quick, he doesn't allow those teams to do that. Why do you think that is?
Double count. He need to do more double count, make the defense declare so he can see exactly what's happening. That'll help him with his pre-snap read. But, Greg, I tell you this. If Baker Mayfield don't win this game this weekend, there's going to be some smoke in the city. We got Big Ben out, Pouncey, T.J. Watt, and Cam Hayward. Bruh, I can come out this chair and win that game. I promise you.
We did pros versus Joes. We ain't winning that game.
It's no excuse for Baker Mayfield this weekend. I feel like I find myself, you know, three or four times every year saying that this is a must-win game for Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield got to win this game. But this one right here, this is a game of huge magnitude, of epic proportions for him. He need to win this one. His receivers was out last week. He had to throw it 50 times, like you said, Greg. That's not the recipe for Baker Mayfield. It's turn around. It's handed off to Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. If they do that, that's where their success lies. If they don't do that, continuously this game and find a way to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't care what it takes, and it's all going to start with Baker, then I'm going to be super upset. And I know the Cleveland Browns fan base is going to be upset with Baker Mayfield and everyone. This is a must-win game for Baker.
You know, I feel like the Cleveland Browns will have let him down if they don't win this game. I think there's a lot of pressure on Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's only consistency that I've seen so far this year has been inconsistent. And that's it. And I say that with love. I look at this Cleveland team and I think to myself, it's interesting that with all the talent that has been amassed on this team and getting your running attack off the ground, which was the catalyst, by the way, of this team starting to have success to begin with, we're putting this on Baker Mayfield's shoulders. A toothless Steelers team coming into the game. They're going to be using all gums to bite. Nothing's going to hurt. But you got to win. They're going to be gnawing at. You got to win the game. And if you don't win the game, it falls purely at the feet of Baker Mayfield. I don't know that that's fair, but the setup of it is certainly there. And Baker, if you're watching this show, going into your practice today, make sure you let yourself know in the mirror. Don't change your mustache and the beard and all that. Don't give me three different looks. Commit to who you're going to be in this game and make sure your teammates know who you're going to be in this game and who they're going to be identity-wise going into this game. Because, Mike, here's the thing. We're talking about a Steelers team that is resting their guys. Yeah. But we're also talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are the big brother to pretty much every single team other than the Baltimore Ravens in that AFC North division. So don't think for 2 seconds because Big Ben is resting that this is going to be one of those let's get through it type of deals. It's a door prize type of game. You'll mess around and you'll get hit in your mouth and you'll be down early and everybody will be sitting there wondering, why is this happening to Baker Mayfield, not the Browns? I look at this as this is a must-win for Baker Mayfield, reputationally speaking. But reality, this is a must-win game for you, Stefanski, for you, Cleveland. It's a must-win for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Stefanski got some time, but I like Greg said, you know, Baker Mayfield, the maturation process right now has to show up, the double counts, you know, getting the team in the right formations, getting them in the right checks, all that's going to be on display. And he's going to have to go out and outdo Mason Rudolph, who's going to be trying to prove that he's the long-term solution to replace Ben Roethlisberger in years to come whenever Big Ben decide to hang it up. So it's a lot hanging in the balance for Baker Mayfield.
And who's to say that Mason, if he plays well, you know, we've looked at how Ben has played in that 3-game skid, and a lot of people were like, hey, let's try Mason Rudolph. Yeah. So the conversation has already ensued anyway. So Mason, whether Mason gets that gig or not, why not put yourself in a favorable position that leash is shorter in the playoffs for someone like Ben because you have the confidence in what you saw him do in a critical must-win game for Cleveland to get into the playoffs. This is much like a playoff game.
It'll be so good to see the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. I tell you, for as long as it's been, you know, for them to have a chance to get in position where they are competing in the playoffs, man. It's something we haven't seen from them in a long time, and they should be excited about this moment and this opportunity. They shouldn't let it slip by.
You better hope so.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. So. Baker and the Browns have to win this game, especially since they're getting a good chunk of their receivers back. And as LeVar mentioned, they are playing a toothless Steelers team. But let's move on to the Chargers because rookie quarterback Justin Herbert has become an overwhelming favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. Herbert has already set the rookie record for passing touchdowns at 28 through only 14 starts, overshadowing the hot start Joe Burrow had before he went out for the season with a knee injury. So, Mike, will Herbert have a better career than Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I think Herbert will, man. The ultimate dual threat. He got the big-time arm. He can run with the football. It's nothing that this kid hasn't shown us that he can't do behind the center. And while he'll have more starts by the time Joe Burrow comes back, I think he'll have 30-plus starts because we don't know when Joe is going to return. And hopefully, you know, he gets himself back and to full health and full form and come back ready to compete. But by the time he come back, he's only going to have 10 starts under his belt and Justin Herbert to have about 30. So that's learning on the job. I thought he stepped in this year and did a tremendous job for his team. A lot of close games, some games that they should have won. But, you know, for him to kind of put it all together and show that he have a complete understanding of the offense and what needs to be done, you know, I like what this team can do moving forward. Anthony Lynn is a great play caller. I think he's a great coach. He understands the run game. Been around Greg Roman for years, you know, when he was in Buffalo. So I think the right personnel, once again, the situation like Tua, you know, you put the right pieces around him, you know, he can grow. And he has the arm to do it. Keenan Allen and a bunch of other guys that he can distribute the ball to, add some free agents, add some guys in the offseason. And you got a quarterback with some weapons and can compete. So I like what LA is doing with him. I like the pick. They got to be happy about it. The biggest thing in the National Football League is finding a quarterback. And when you got a rookie that's played well and you can look 10 years from now and say, this is going to be our guy, you got to feel fortunate.
You know, I'm not so sure that he's going to have a better career than Joe Burrow. I like T. Higgins. He's actually one of those bright spots in Cincinnati at the receiver's position where you could see that connection forming before the injury took place. Yeah. That Cincinnati Bengals team is a team that's actually trending up if you take a good, hard look at personnel-wise what they've been able to put together. You know, you look at the rest of the class, CeeDee Lamb came on and has played lights out as a rookie. You look at James Robinson, you know, he's played well as a running back in Jacksonville. Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, even though the team hasn't done well, he's played well. But Justin Herbert has played at the highest level of any rookie coming into where we are right now. So I do look at him as a lock for the offensive rookie of the year. But with that being said, as well as I've seen him do, when I've looked at both of these quarterbacks, Justin Herbert plays with a little bit more perceived maturity than what I see in Joe Burrow. But that's not to say that
he's got a little more talent around him.
That's not to say that when I look at Joe Burrow, if he can, all things given, health-wise, if he can come back and be as healthy as he was or stronger, I still think that the skill set and the talent level that I saw play out with him this season really gives me pause to actually say definitively that Justin Herbert is going to have the better career for two reasons and two reasons alone. One, I don't know that I fully trust what's going on with the L.A. Chargers, okay, for one.
You. That makes
all
sense.
All right. Two, when I look at the Bengals, I think to myself, there may be the possibilities that what they're building there will be more time for that scenario to play out in Cincinnati rather than in a major market like L.A. for the Chargers. I don't know how much that can disrupt Justin Herbert, but you and I both know coaching changes disrupt. If Lynn loses his job, here comes someone new. How does that work? How's the chemistry? Does it work? This young man, young phase, stage of his career, every single thing matters. I had four head coaches 3 years into my career when I first came into the NFL.
Tough.
It is very difficult to deal with coaching changes, and that could be the very reason why we see Joe Burrow be able to leapfrog and get ahead of Justin Herbert in the future.
I think we'll be talking about both of these quarterbacks for a long time into their careers. However, with a healthy Joe Burrow, give me Joe Burrow any day of the week. I just like everything that he brings, his moxie, his leadership, his approach to the game, his arrogance, that arrogance that you talked about earlier, LeVar, when we talk about the Green Bay Packers. Joe Burrow carries a lot of that. His ability to just get guys to buy in and believe in him. You think about just his stance, even with the social justice and injustices that were going on, and his ability to just have that assertiveness and that comfort to just speak out and galvanize that team without having met so many of those players. They love this guy in Cincinnati, and I just think that if he can stay healthy, the ceiling for him is so high. And I'm not saying this not for Justin Herbert. I think he's a tremendous quarterback, and he will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year this year, and he's deserving of it. And I think he's going to have a fantastic career. But Joe Burrow, you alluded to something in Cincinnati. They're not far as far off as people think.
No, they're not.
Like, personnel-wise, they have players. They have guys that they're trying to surround him with. They're going to protect him up front, hopefully, in this draft. But you look at T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. You have an elder statesman in A.J. Green that may be on the way out. We'll see. But they have pieces around him at the running back position, at the receiver position. I like their head coach, young-minded guy who understands what he has in Joe Burrow, and will allow him to flourish, will put him in positions of success. That's what we saw before the injury. When we look at both of these guys, 9-10 games into the season, they were neck and neck. I mean, and some would say Joe Burrow was doing more with less because he was in Cincinnati, a dumpster fire, if you will, where quarterbacks go to die. And he's done so much positive to where we believe this team is going to have so much life because of his ability. I just like all that he brings, his ability to get out the pocket, his accuracy, his down-the-field accuracy. He's a special, special talent. They both are, but give me Joe Burrow long-term. Mm.
You know, that's what scares me about the Cincinnati Bengals organization. You know, you're talking about you got the first-round pick in Joe Burrow, and can you build around him? You know, they had Andy Dalton for several years who showed promise, and I felt like the team was on the cusp of greatness. They was competing. They was competing with the Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, but just couldn't get over the hump, and then things just took a turn for the worse. So most importantly, like we all just said, it's about building around Joe Burrow. Unfortunately for him, he's going to have some time off because he got to get that knee right and get some confidence in it before he can get back into the fold, full throttle, feeling good about himself. And playing this game, which is a dual threat type of game. And that's what I like about him. But obviously, you know, not gaining that experience, he's going to miss, once again, OTAs, training camp. It's going to be a tough year for him. But, you know, he has to fight it and to come back from it.
Yeah, so does Alex.
Shot.
Wow, okay. Well,
you got the ability to come back, Alex. Come on.
I always come back. Well, why was I down? I've been on top. Come on.
Yeah,
All right, Greg. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we're looking forward to hearing you call the Falcons and Bucks on Sunday on Fox. So congrats. No mercy.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed. No mercy.
We will finally be able to crown the NFC East winner this Sunday. Washington can steal the division with a win over Philadelphia. However, if they lose, then it will be the winner of the Cowboys and Giants game. That will be playoff bound. We are now joined by Antonio Cromartie. Happy New Year, Crow. How will the NFC
Happy New Year
play out this Sunday?
I'm taking Dallas Cowboys.
What?
And I say that because I think right now they have a chance. They have a little momentum. I think Andy Dalton's playing a lot better. They actually found a run game, and it's not coming from really. It's not really coming from Ezekiel. The big plays are just coming from Pollard. So I'm looking for them to win. I think, you know, with everything that's going on in Washington, I don't think it's still the distraction that's going on there. We don't know how healthy Alex Smith is. And I think Jalen Hurts can put them out.
Wow.
Well, right now, all indications are looking like Alex Smith going to play. So I got to say that the Washington football team will be in the playoffs, especially if he's out in the field. Crow, it's what they brought him there for. They brought him there to win games like this and win games in the mm-hmm. regular season and possibly get into the playoffs and compete. So, you know, I feel like for all they've gone through, man, Ron Rivera, Alex, you know, it's a storybook ending for these guys. And I wouldn't want anything more than to see them have an opportunity to, you know, play for a championship. And you know, while they have all of the right pieces and components with the defensive line and the offense playing a lot better, you know, I think it all lies in the hands of Alex Smith. And even if Taylor Heinicke plays, I still think they got a shot because Fletcher Cox won't be on the field, and that's the biggest caveat. So, you know, if I'm a quarterback in this game and there's no Fletcher Cox, then I know that pocket's going to be clean. I can sit in the pocket and I can work. I keep my eyes downfield. And the Philadelphia Eagles, they kind of distraught right now. They got a lot going on, you know, within their organization as well. So, you know, I think they're poised, you know, to win this game this Sunday. And if they do, you know, all hail to the football team.
I could run down the stat lines of why certain teams will win, why Washington mm-hmm. is the better team than the Philadelphia Eagles, why the Giants would be in contention, scenarios. Actually. Right. But this is the NFC East. These are all teams that are familiar with one another. And we all know interdivisional games are always. They're all familiar with one another. Yep. So all the stats go out the door. Now, I will say this. Looking at Washington's team, I don't look at it as a confused state. I don't look at it as a turbulent place. We watched what happened with Dwayne Haskins this past mm-hmm. week, and we could all sit here and say, here we go again with the Washington football team. Yep. Here it is. They're going to self-destruct. Self-sabotage. That's not the case here. That is not the case. There is a difference. There is not confusion. This was confusion being put to bed, Crow. Think about it. Ron Rivera said, this is what we needed you to do. You didn't do it. So you go out there based upon injury after you've been stripped of being a captain because you've been irresponsible with your leadership role, and you don't play well. We lose the game, and you leave. You don't even face the media. Well, in years past, the confusion would have been, let him go. Yeah. You know, just keep it moving. Yeah. Let's try to get through the season. No. He got bodied, Crow. Ron bodied him. Like, and so now everybody's on notice. This is not about there being confusion. This is about y'all better focus in.
Yeah.
You better dial
100%.
In.
100%.
For those who are ready to go get it, y'all going to go get it. For those of you were thinking you might or maybe not, this is Washington. No. Yeah. You better dial in. It's time to lock and load. And that's why I think that this Washington team has the best chance of coming out this weekend as the lone NFC East team and champ going into the playoffs.
Yeah, they got a shot.
Well, I say they don't. That's just because I'm just looking at Alex Smith and how he's played going into the playoffs or how he played in the playoffs. I mean, you got to think, Alex Smith's been blown out in the playoffs every single time he's gotten to the playoffs or even tried to get into the playoffs. You can look at the NFC game against the Giants in the NFC Championship game. You can go to the Colts game when they had a 20-some point lead and blew the whole entire lead. And he had a defense then. He had the pass rushers then. So what's making it different now? You know, it's the same kind of offense that he's been running. I think he's a little more comfortable. But at the end of the day, I'm taking the Cowboys just because of the gelling they're starting to do the last 3 weeks and the way they've been playing. And they found a running game with Zeke and also with Pollard. And Andy Dalton's getting a little more comfortable when he's found a star receiver in Gallup. That's going to create separation if you try to double somebody else. Someone else is going to be open on the back end. So, I mean, I look at it from that standpoint and why I'm picking Dallas. And I'm just looking at the history of Alex Smith playing games that's meaningful. And that means something to get him somewhere into the next division.
Hey, Crow, crazier things can't have happened. You know, the football team can lose this game. They can lose, and then Dallas can beat the Giants and get in. And if that happens, I'm going to give all the credit to Mike McCarthy because everybody wrote him off. They wanted him fired. Mm. Mike McCarthy got to go. He's washed up. That man got a Super Bowl ring.
Yes, he does.
He know what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
He got Andy Dalton playing some of his best football, and Dak was playing some of his best football as well. So, you know, why I think if they don't make it, 2021 to serve this team well, especially when they get all the right pieces together, especially when they have some time in the jail, and if Mike McCarthy take over the play caller next year over Kellen Moore.
I got to be honest. I said I wasn't going to use any stats, but I lied. All right? That's my honesty.
I'm a stat man.
And the only reason why I'm going to do it is because my man Crow asked, well, what's so different? What's so different? Well,
give it to me.
Let's think about this with Jalen Hurts since he's become the starter. All right? 20th in points scored. 20th. That leaves only 12 teams away from the worst.
Yeah.
21st, right? 21st in yards allowed for this defense. 22nd in points allowed for this Philly defense. And they're tied for 24th in takeaways. So if you're going to have one aspect struggling and suffering on your team, you had better be able to pick it up in other aspects. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia Eagles got away with their one, and that was Jalen Hurts' first game. They got away with it in New Orleans, but they have not been able to since get away with it. And I look at where they are statistically speaking, there is nothing about Philly that says to me that they can find a way to pick up the slack either on defense or on offense, even with the boost that they originally got from Jalen Hurts. I'm a Jalen Hurts fan, but in this scenario, I think this game is too big, and that's what's different, if you ask me, about Alex Smith being in this scenario to qualify and win the NFC East.
Man, if Alex Smith was the starter at the beginning of the season, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. The football team would already be in. Dallas would be out. The NFC East would be already over with. But, you know, it's good football. It's good for the National Football League. It's good for the NFC East. And I can't wait. I think it's going to be a photo finish. I don't know what you think about that, Crow, but I can't wait to see it.
Crow ride with
I can't wait to see it neither.
Crow ride with Dallas. Boy, somebody done got to Crow, boy. Who got to call up?
No, I just watched the last 3 weeks.
That's fair. Well, speaking of last 2 weeks, I've watched Alex do TV the last 2 weeks, and she's pretty good.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, as I said before, it's Washington's weekend, right?
It's Washington's weekend.
It would be an incredible story, not only for the team, but Ron Rivera, and then obviously the comeback of Alex Smith. So
I'm buying that.
It's all them this weekend. It's all in their hands.
It's in their hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
But we're moving on to the Bucks.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Saturday on Fox, All-American Marcus Zagorowski and number 11 Creighton battle Providence. That's Saturday at noon Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Now, Tom Brady has already ended the Buccaneers' playoff drought and also set the team record for passing touchdowns in a single season through only 15 games. Bruce Arians has higher expectations for Brady beyond just the regular season, though. Earlier this week, Arians said it's Super Bowl or bust for his team. So, LeVar, does Tom Brady need a Lombardi trophy to justify the move to Tampa?
Let me just make sure I clear this up for everybody, Mike. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is very interesting. Bruce Arians says it's Super Bowl or bust for Tampa Bay. But the question, people, is it justified the move to bring in Tom Brady without getting a Lombardi trophy?
Yeah.
And the answer is absolutely yes, it is justified. You know why? Let's talk about why. The Bucks versus the Patriots. Because if we're going to justify Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, then I would say the reasoning has to be soundly rooted in reasoning of what is he as a Patriot and what are the Patriots versus what is he as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Just real quick, all right? The Bucs and the Pats, all right? Points this year. The Bucs ranked 5th, while the Patriots ranked 28th. All right? The Bucs ranked 11th. in yards per game, while the Patriots rank 29th. The passing yards. Your quarterback, he throws the ball. Passing yards. The Bucs ranked 3rd, while the Patriots ranked 30th. So if I'm looking at what the Patriots are without Tom Brady and what the Bucs are with Tom Brady, think about this. The Patriots last year, 12-4, a game away from being the second seed in the playoffs, Mike. This year, 6-9. First losing season since 2000, which 2000 was, let's see, Mike. That's the year they drafted Tom Brady in New England. So this is justified. The only way it's not justified where it's Super Bowl or bust is if the Patriots are in the Super Bowl and Tampa Bay has to win in order to justify it. Otherwise, man, I'm good.
Man, look, Tampa needed Tom. Tom may need Tampa. This goes without saying. I mean, every head coach always utter these words at the beginning of the year. We're going to win the Super Bowl. We got to win it all. 100%. Yeah, coach, no doubt. I mean, we know that. I mean, back up. Let us get busy. I mean, like I said, Tampa needed Tom. Mm-hmm. And they just needed to upgrade at the position. Jameis, he did enough, but he didn't do what was needed to get him into the postseason. He was almost there. They was on the cusp. And Tom just came in and gave him that little oomph, that little extra
that
push.
Extra.
And didn't turn it over as much as Jameis. Got more out of Tom. And now they find themselves in the postseason. So, you know, why it's always wishful thinking. Yes, we want to play and compete for the Super Bowl. So it's not a bust for Tom Brady. It's all house money for him. He got 6 rings. He's just bringing something extra to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that they haven't had. Going to the playoffs, haven't been in 13 years. If they was 2-13, this would be a totally different conversation. We'll be talking totally different.
Definitely.
You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying, Coach? So, I mean, look, Coach, I love you. Yeah, I like what you're doing with Tom. 2021 going to be the year. And this year is not over. They still have a chance to compete in the playoffs. So, you know, if they can knock off the Green Bay Packers or the New Orleans Saints, then, you know, they might have something.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, like you say, Tampa needed Tom Brady more than Tom Brady needed Tampa. You know, and when you look at the whole entire situation, you can look at the games and you can look at how Tom Brady played this year, but also just compare it to last year. They still throwing the ball down the field as they did. I think just Tom Brady's making smarter throws and understanding what he needs to go to better than Jameis did. And the thing about Tom Brady, what he brings into Tampa is one, he brings the Super Bowl rings. So everyone's going to want to listen. Everyone's a part of being a part of a champion that's played in this game. So everyone's going to listen. He has the reputation. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And he's proven that day in at 43 years old that he can go in and go do what he needs to try to do to go win games. You know, Bruce Arians has always been this way. It's Super Bowl or bust. That's his whole thing. That's like you said before. It's one of the things that he's always talking about at the beginning of the season. It's the goals that's set. And it's been like that when I was in Arizona with him. It's Super Bowl or bust. And that was just the end of it. You know, no matter what happened during the season, that was his whole thing. But it's just like understanding that what Tom Brady brings to the table and what he needs, far from what New England has had, he's doing a heck of a job and he's doing what he's supposed to do. And, you know, this is a big win for Tampa more so than for Tom Brady.
You know what? I mean, and I think we all can attest to this. I mean, if we're head coach though and we walk in our locker room, we see Tom Brady. And
I'm thinking Super Bowl. I'm thinking Super Bowl.
Mike Evans, yeah. Gronk, Pierre Paul, Dominic. I'm thinking
Super Bowl or bust
too. So yeah, I gotta agree with Bruce Arians in a sense, but you know, in all actuality, when it's all said and done, when you look at it from a realistic perspective, you gotta know that you still gotta go out and win these games on weekly basis, and it all starts with the coach. So, coach, you gotta coach us to win these games. We know exactly what we need to do when we get out there. We're ready to compete. Our hearts are into it. But can you cook up the right game plan and put us in a position offensively and defensively, offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator?
I'ma live with the elephant in the room, the 5,000-pound elephant. Was Tom Brady a product of the Patriot way? Sure, he was a product of the Patriot way. He was a part of building the Patriot way. But to say his success was purely based off of Bill Belichick, was the whole point of, for me, this whole debate, this whole topic. Mm-hmm. Does Tom Brady need a Lombardi trophy to justify the move? That says to me, can Tom Brady win without Bill Belichick? That has already been answered.
Right.
And if anything, if anything, we could say it's a push or a wash if New England is able to make it to the playoffs,
right?
If we're sitting here talking like Patriots are surging, they're going to, or they're somewhere along the same lines as Tampa Bay right now. Yeah. We know that even with 5,000 yards throwing, passing last year with Jameis Winston, they still have not been good enough to make it to those playoffs. And yet you bring in Tom Brady, who supposedly can't function from being outside of the Patriots organization under Bill Belichick, and comes to Tampa Bay in a COVID year and doesn't even have a real offseason, and guides and leads this team to the playoffs. Y'all better stop playing with me, boy. That boy Tom Brady is the real deal.
TB12.
He's the real deal, player. It just is what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, Crow, am I wrong or am I wrong?
No, you're not. You're not. You're definitely not wrong. I mean, we just look at the whole entire situation. He's done a lot. He's done far better being in Tampa than, you know, how the New England's doing right now with Cam. So when you look at the whole entire situation, who really was running the ship, you know? Because Tom Brady's the guy that's out there on the field every single time, making the checks, doing the making throws and everything else. But when you just see what he's doing and how comfortable he's gotten the last, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, really, with throwing the deep ball, because that was something that Bruce Arians was very heavy on. That's his offense is getting the ball down the field, pushing the ball down the field. And these last couple of weeks, man, it's just, you just see something that he's starting to, it's starting to click for him. And that's something that gets scary with Tom Brady. Once he starts clicking, and he can get every single element during the game and make all his reads and go down the field. Man, it's scary when you get into the postseason.
Hey, Crow, I'm going to say this. If this same team is assembled next year, 2021, I'm going to be singing the same tune that Bruce Arians is singing.
Super Bowl
the bus for this team. On here, nothing else. Tom Brady at the helm and all the pieces surrounding them. They got what it takes.
Oh, yeah. 100%. It's Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. He's the best. It should always be Super Bowl or bust because he is the best of the best. And I know even if he's not saying it, being a top athlete, you have that exact same mentality and attitude.
100%.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
No mercy.
The final Sunday of the regular season kicks off with the Cowboys in a must-win game against the Giants. Then the Bears try to win their way into the playoffs against a Packers squad gunning for the top seed in the NFC. Or other regional action, check local listings for the games in your area only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Lamar Jackson remains winless in the playoffs after two trips, and his normal MVP numbers are much different in the postseason. His completion percentage is 13 points worse in the playoffs compared to the regular season, and his passer rating is 30 points worse. So, Mike, how much pressure is on Lamar to make a playoff run after two straight early exits?
It's some realistic pressure on Lamar Jackson, and I think Lamar knows that. I think Lamar can look at the last three games that he's played, and, you know, he can kind of marvel his game after that. You know, he's done well in the passing game. He's been a sensational passer, and he's been, you know, the ultimate dual threat as a runner. You know, that's going to have to be on full display. I don't think any team wants to see this Baltimore Ravens team in the playoffs, but for Lamar, after the early exits, the last two seasons, and it hasn't been good play in the playoffs for him. You know, this is the time to show and prove. And I think he used this weekend as a stepping stone. You know, once he gets into the playoffs, because I do think they get in, then he has to turn it up to a whole different level and show us what Lamar Jackson is really about. Like I said, no team wants to face this guy. You know, it's hard to defend probably one of the greatest or second greatest dual threat quarterbacks to ever play the game. So, you know, he's in prime position. I think the team understands, you know, what direction they need to go in. I think the coaches have reevaluated all the things that has made them successful, and they put it on full display. But ultimately, Lamar has the ball in his hands, and it's going to be up to Lamar, you know, to take this team to where they need to go. And it's not going to be an easy task. You know, I think the AFC Championship game is or nothing for Lamar this year. And he'll tell you that. He feels that. So, you know, that pressure is real.
They compared him to you. Seven. This guy, Mike Vick, for an entire season last year.
For all the right reasons.
In terms of him being the next iteration of that next level athlete playing at the quarterback's position. And he delivered. And what's different this year than last year was he delivered on such a high level that he won the league MVP, that his team was a top-rated seed going into the playoffs. Yep. We're talking about pressure for the playoffs. They're not even in them yet.
Yeah.
They have not even clinched a position in the playoffs yet, people. Hey, Crow, I don't know about you, but last time I checked, them Cincinnati Bengals, they on the street.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
Steelers. They just beat they beat the Steelers. And they beat the Texans. Now, you may say with the Texans, all right, hey, you can beat the Texans.
They always play the Steelers.
All right. But they beat the Steelers. And here's what's impressive about them beating the Steelers is that they created a longer losing streak for the Steelers. Like, that was supposed to be a losing streak snap. All right.
Snap,
so when I look at this Bengals team, they're not as far away as we mentioned before. They're not a horrible team. I sit here and I suspect this is going to be a very stressful weekend for Lamar Jackson, because not only is he not in the conversation for being an MVP this year, but you got to win to get in. Yeah. And it's against a familiar opponent. It's not going to be an
God
easy
it's the
deal.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Let's get into the playoffs first before it's AFC divisional or bust.
Thank you. You got to get into the playoff first. And the way Cincinnati defense, man, playing the last 2 weeks, man, been playing sensational. One, they've been playing physical. They got to think, this game against Cincinnati is going to be very physical, because it's like, look, if I got to go home, you going home. And at the end of the day, and that's what it's about. That's what football is about. If we ain't going to the playoffs, you definitely ain't going to go. We will not let you win. I think that's the mentality that Cincinnati is going to bring into this game. But the other thing about Lamar is, yes, he has all the accolades during the season. He can do everything during the season. But when he gets into a playoff game, the game changes. And y'all know this. You can keen in on everything that somebody does great and take it away. Okay, you can't go into a playoff game and your number one receiver is Andrews, the tight end. You cannot have a number one receiver and Andrews being your number one receiver. That's the only person you can really throw it to, because Hollywood Brown can't get open. He can't get off a press. He can't do this. He can't do that. He only can run down the seam. So if you can't, Lamar Jackson can't throw outside of numbers. You know, I haven't seen him throw great outside the numbers. So when you keen into that and you can make him one dimensional, what do you see? You got to understand, when we're going into this playoffs, man, we can't on the things that you do well. And now we're going to make sure we take all that stuff away. So you want to throw the seven route, you want to throw the seam routes to tight ends, we're going to take it away. We want to try to scramble and get outside the pocket, we're not going to rush above your shoulders. What we're going to do is keep them in the pocket and make you step up and have somebody spine on you and hit you dead in the mouth when you step up in the pocket. So it's little things like that that teams are doing when you get into the playoffs against Lamar, and you see why he struggles. It's not the point that he's not trying to do. He's doing the same thing he's been doing all year, but teams keen in to what you're doing into the playoffs a lot more than it is during the season.
Well, I tell you what, if he play like he played the last three games, then it's going to be ugly for anybody that they face moving forward.
He did that last year.
Yeah, but before they get in, they got to win this weekend, right?
They got to win this
weekend. You're right.
The greatest highlight of his career came against the Cincinnati Bengals last year. Mm-hmm. And that was the one we had the spin move. And he embarrassed about five or six guys. You know what they got to do? Cincinnati Bengals got to watch that film repeatedly throughout the week. This
will
be the last stand, and they'll watch it again tomorrow.
I'm sure they have.
Are they going to be shaking in their boots?
A little bit of redemption. I don't know that it's shaking.
They're going to be shaking their boots tomorrow.
I don't know that it's shaking.
I don't know about shaking.
He's going to do it to them again, whether at home or
at road. Tell him about when people like Mike Vick do that, when they did that to us. We got to come get you.
You got to understand how this team is playing right now. They're playing with a little confidence.
Gotta
like y'all said before, the Cincinnati team has got something. Listen,
Who's the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals right now?
Who cares?
It don't matter. Who's the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Who cares?
I care. Defense?
I care. Defense is going to win this game. And the pressure is on Lamar Jackson. And that's a whole lot of pressure. You got to get in before you can be in. If you knew better, you'd do better. They better get it right. I'll tell you like this, because it's going to be a whole lot. You said a whole lot of smoke.
That's
a whole lot of smoke.
There's the Jack highlights written all over this one. You said what, Carl?
You know how hard it is to get into them playoffs.
Yeah, no.
Now you're playing against divisional round at the end of the year. You're playing against divisional round opponents again at the end of the year. We know each other. We know the ins and outs of the game, what you can do good and what you don't. So this is a playoff game for Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's definitely a playoff game.
And Cincinnati,
you know, a lot of those guys over there, they over there playing for their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be intense. It's going to be a tough game. But, man, let me tell you something. When you look at that film and you see a guy shaking and baking and moving and grooving, I mean, they're going to stop in their tracks. When Lamar run up on them, they stop in their tracks. Hey, they're not committing.
What do you do to that?
Commit.
Hit him right in the mouth.
You got to hit him.
You got to dive.
You got to hit him.
You got to dive. You just got to dive. Listen, maybe I'm up here speaking out of turn because I'm no defensive player by any stretch. I'm always offensive bias, but I respect what you guys
do. I'm not diving.
I respect what y'all say.
I'm not diving. I'm hunting. And when I hunt...
Yeah, I know. Y'all left me with a sore back for four months.
Yes, I did it with the real one.
I
was able to get a hold of the real one. Let's see if Cincinnati gets the next one.
You're the culprit, bro.
Lamar, I think this might be the first time I say at this show, I agree with you. I do. The pressure is on. The pressure is on this weekend. But as you said, has to win first. Can't have a conversation until you get in. You got to win.
That's right, Al.
Yeah.
That's
right. I know. Look at that. That was good. That was good teamwork there.
That's right.
But you know who else has the pressure on this weekend?
Uh-oh.
Tua Tagovailoa, who was benched last week again for Ryan Fitzpatrick after Tua was 17 of 22 for only 94 yards against the Raiders. Fitzpatrick didn't disappoint, going 9 of 13 for 182 yards and a touchdown, and he set up Miami for the game-winning field goal. But yesterday, Fitzpatrick tested positive for COVID-19 and will miss their game Sunday. But before that, Brian Flores had already said that despite the benching, Tua was going to start in Week 17. So, Mike, do you think the Dolphins are sold on Tua as their quarterback long-term?
Yeah, I think they sold on him, and why wouldn't they be? I mean, 6-2 as a starter, spot play in and out. You know, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't, you know, him throwing the ball deep down the yard, breaking long runs. They had to be cautious with Tua, and Tua was coming off a significant hip injury, and they had to be real careful about this. And, you know, I think Tua, more than anybody, understands why he's been put in this situation, and knowing that he has Ryan Fitzpatrick behind him, you know, as a relief pitcher, I mean, it's a relief to him. You know, it's not a lot of pressure on him to go out and perform, but to this weekend, it will be because everything lies in his hands, and they are playing against a tough opponent in the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, moving forward in 2020, I don't expect Brian Flores to be, you know, pulling Tua in and out of the game, growing pains. Mm-hmm. He get out there, he go through trial and error, and he take the game as it come. And he live with the bumps and bruises, good or bad. I think that's what's most important for his development. But they got to improve their team, continue to get better on defense, put some weapons around. The only person he got right now is Devontae Parker. Mm-hmm. You know, so get him some receivers, allow him to work in the preseason, off season, get that work in, and then he should be a much better quarterback come 2021.
Flores is a gritty coach, and he's building a gritty team. Tua is the long-term answer for this team. Yes. But it's 100%. Also a tone, Crow, right? A tone has been set, and that tone is we're playing to win. So if I got to bring in Fitz to relieve you to get a dub, that's what we're going to do. If I got to bring in Tua to relieve you, Fitz, that's what we're going to do. And this team has bought into that. The one thing that I like about this Dolphins team is that they've come to the table with this chip on their shoulder. Like, we've been bad for a while. We haven't been respected. Mm-hmm. And this coach is something different about him. We believe in him. And so he took a chance on pulling Fitz early on, putting Tua in, and it worked.
Yeah.
But now, when doing the opposite in reverse, more than often you're going to say, oh, that's going to mess with his psyche. You're ruining the player. Yeah. Like, you're not giving him the ability to thrive and grow. But I think this is an environment that he has created as a coach.
Yep.
And I think these players buy into it. And I think that that's making them better. So the fact that you see him pitch hit with those quarterbacks at times does not lead me to believe that. Yeah. It's because it's a lack of belief and trust in your long-term version of winning. What you think is going to be with Tua. It's about winning.
Man, we all know what this league, what you're supposed to do. It's all about wins and losses. At the end of the day, as a coach, that's what it's all about. It's about winning and losing. So he's going to do anything he's going to try to do to win this game. But at the same time, you got to think with Tua, coming off that major hip injury, you got to protect him in some kind of way, you know. And I feel if he's not having the game he's supposed to have, you got to back up like Fitzpatrick. Put him in and put him in and let him win the game. And he did the same thing when Ryan Fitzpatrick was having a tough game. See, but the thing about Tua, he understands that situation because he's been in that situation before in Alabama. Wasn't having a great game. I think it was the SEC championship. They put in Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts goes out and wins. So he understands that, look, if I'm not playing well, I may get pulled. But at the same time, when you look at the Miami team, their defense is built to win games. This defense is built not from the offense standpoint, it's more so from the defense standpoint to win games. When you got Xavier Howard and Brian Jones and all these guys that you just paid big money to on the defense side of the ball. So those guys are there to help Tua as much as possible and getting the ball as many as possible. And that's what it's all about. It's about giving my young quarterback as many opportunities as possible by giving him the ball, whether it's turnovers or it's turnovers on downs, fumble, whatever it may be. It's about trying to get as many opportunities as possible. In this game here, I don't see any pressure on Tua. Tua can just got to go out and go play his game the best way he knows how and follow the game plan and make the plays that he's supposed to make and make the reads that he's supposed to make and just go play the game. The game is – don't make the game bigger than what it is. Yep. Let the coaches do that. You just go out there and go play the game and make your reads and try to get your team in a position to win the game week in and week out. And I think Tua can do that.
Boom, exactly right. No mercy.